Hello and welcome to Car Talk from National Public Radio with us, Click and Clack, the Tapper
Brothers.
That was
a pretty... Hello?
Robust, wouldn't you say? Robust?
More than robust.
Alert?
Awake.
Anyway, we're broadcasting this week from the Vacation Planning Center here at Car Talk Plaza. Now, we want you to know that there's still plenty of space available for all sessions of Mechanics Fantasy Camp here at Car Talk Plaza.
I like this
idea.
Well,
it's just like those baseball fantasy camps where you pay about $4,000 to get tips on how to hit, catch, throw, and scratch from some retired Hall of Famer who's really in deep to the IRS.
Sure, but you get old Krusty to run the fantasy camp. Is
you
he running it now? Is he in charge?
Well, not yet. No, we haven't revived
it. Brilliant idea.
Well, at fantasy camp, mechanics fantasy camp, my brother and I and Krusty will teach you how to hit, catch, throw, and scratch, mechanic style.
Yeah, like hit your knuckles as you're taking off nuts and bolts.
Yeah, that's one thing.
That's one.
Catch hell from my rate customers. Throw your tools in disgust.
Yeah. And scratching needs no further discussion.
No, in fact, we could teach the ball players about that. Anyway, if you'd like to sign up, just, you know, give us a call. You know the number.
Send $1,000
down payment right.
For the deposit to hold your spot because there are many spots to be held.
Oh, yeah. There are plenty of spots. Don't worry.
And you can come to the camp. Where is the camp going to be? Right at the garage?
Oh, no. We found a bucolic setting for it.
Bucolic setting. Yeah, I suppose you should. Fenway Park?
to be named in the future.
I like it.
Yeah, as yet, undetermined bucolic setting, but it will be something special. You can rest assured. Anyway, if you'd like to call us, our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 1-888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Paco from beautiful downtown Kalamazoo.
Paco! Kalamazoo, Michigan.
From Michigan.
Yeah, Paco, what's up, man?
Oh, you've got to help me because my mechanic won't let me visit him anymore.
Oh, good.
I've got a beautiful Ford conversion van that is only a mere 140,000 miles old.
Mm-hmm.
But if I make a hard right turn a couple blocks away from home, it just dies. It goes dead, and I have to sit there and say words over it and talk to it. And my kids are really getting embarrassed about having to jump out while it's rolling and push it through intersections while we wait for it to get going.
And then when it dies, it won't restart?
Not immediately.
But it'll crank.
It'll crank, and it just it won't start. But after you sit there 5 or 10 minutes, and like I said, say words and get embarrassed by the police blocking traffic.
What exactly are the words?
We treat it nice. We go, no, we're not going to trade you in. We won't go by the car dealership again. We'll drive you to 200,000 miles.
And that's it.
That's it.
But it happens every time you take a right turn?
Not every time.
Not every time.
It's kind of sporadic.
But it's going to be a hard right turn.
A hard right turn. Turning out of the neighborhood onto the main street.
And you're accelerating through this turn.
Yeah.
And if you took the turn with the wheel cut all the way, but it was done with a gentle application of the gas pedal, it wouldn't cut out. Is that true?
I think that's true. I don't remember all the instances.
Well, here's what I think is happening. I haven't the foggiest idea. But we'll never get rid of him unless we give him an answer. Paco, are you still there?
I'm here. Help me.
I'm going to back you up on any.
I'm
not going to ask any questions that are
I think
of
when
embarrassing
you make this,
nature.
No. Don't. Whatever I say, no, don't question it.
Whatever you say.
All right, put the caller back on. Oh, he's on?
Oh, I'm here.
I think when you're making the hard right turn, you are either pinching a wiring harness or stretching one and causing a bad connection.
Excellent. I think absolutely right.
Outstanding.
Brilliant. Outstanding.
Here's what I'm going to suggest you do. You try to duplicate the problem with the car not moving. And that's going to require that you get your hand under the under the hood when the engine is running. And maybe you don't want to do this, but you might want to try to find a new mechanic that's willing to do it.
Some new kid who's just opening up a new shop that's looking for business to do anything. He'll do anything, even stick his hand under the fan.
Yeah, we had a guy that used to do this. We call him Lefty. But if you tug on these harnesses and shake them around, you're going to get one of them to make the thing conk out. And then you're going to go and look further, and you're going to find you have a bad connection or a bad ground or some such thing.
Okay.
And when you... I shouldn't ask this question.
Don't ask.
When you say sometimes won't start again.
It won't fire up.
It cranks, but it won't fire up.
Right, because you're not getting a signal to your injectors.
Okay.
That's my feeling, that the somehow or another, that one of the plugs for the injectors is coming loose when you make a hard right turn, or there's a bad ground that's somehow making a poor connection when you make a hard right turn.
And when you make this hard right turn and it stalls, can you remember... Probably the steering wheel remains in that hard right position because you have stopped and you've lost power steering because the engine's not running.
Yeah, yeah.
And have you ever tried grunting the steering wheel to the left to see if that has any effect on its starting?
Of course it tries that.
We've developed a real knack when I holler bail out that all the kids bail out and we push it before it loses its momentum. So.
Ah!
And even pushing it with the wheel straight ahead doesn't get it started.
We haven't tried it while we're pushing it, but we'll try that next time.
Okay, keep us posted.
We will.
We'll talk next week.
All right.
Okay, Paco, good luck.
Thanks, guys.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, it's Lori from Grand Canyon, Arizona.
From where?
Grand Canyon, Arizona.
That's an address, huh? That's a city?
It's the edge of the Grand Canyon.
The edge?
Which edge?
The South Rim.
The South Rim.
So you live right there?
I do.
You're one of those people that don't take the donkeys down the canyon, do you?
No, only hiking.
Oh, really? do you work at the park?
I do. I'm a park ranger here.
How far down is it?
Well, to the bottom, it's about 10 miles, 5,000-foot drop.
What? Yeah, well, it depends if you're falling or walking.
it's preferably you're walking.
If you're walking, it's 10 miles. If you're falling, it's a mile, right?
Right, it's a lot quicker.
Wow.
Anyway,
what's up?
What's going on?
Well, I've got a 93 Toyota Tercel. It's got 159,785 miles.
Good.
Black interior, no air conditioning, but it's a really good car.
Sure.
Although a week ago I heard this clunk, 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 clunk in the front passenger side of the car. So I stopped.
And under what circumstances?
I was doing about 65, the speed limit, on the way to Flagstaff, 90 miles away.
And you suddenly heard bum, 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 bum?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, the month prior I'd heard a very soft blum, 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 blum. But nobody, even my husband, couldn't figure out what it was.
Ah, okay.
So now it turned into a big clunk, 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 clunk. So I turned and hobbled home.
Yeah.
And my husband jacked the car up and took a look for me.
Ah.
And he comes in and says, honey, I know what's wrong. It's the dynamic damper. And I was like, what are you talking about? It sounded like a joke. And sure enough, he goes out and he hacksaws this rubber steel donut thing off the car and brings it into me. And he says, I fixed the problem. I took off this damper, which he tells me is on the drive shaft to cut down the vibration or road noise or something. And it had gotten loose because it's old and it's flailing around hitting the CV boot and all that stuff. So he cuts it off.
Mm-hmm.
And here it is in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And so my question is this supposed to be back on the car? I've got to drive after this call to Phoenix to catch a plane. So I got to drive 5 hours in that old Toyota without this donut thing.
Look, Lori, if you had a nickel for every part that had fallen off this car without your knowledge,
yeah,
you'd be able to buy a new one.
The
piece, what that piece is, it fits around the axle shaft, and it is like a balancing weight. So, and it's designed because that axle, the right-hand axle, I believe, is longer than the left-hand axle, and it would start to whip. You know, it would actually bend at high speeds, and this thing was put on it to minimize that.
Okay.
And I think what you were hearing was that thing coming apart. Your husband was exactly right. It was pretty good that he cut this thing off.
Yeah.
Well, when in doubt, remove it. That's what the doctors do, right? You know,
right,
so,
like a gallbladder.
Have you driven it at high speeds since then?
We did, just to see if I would live on my journey, and it didn't shake or anything.
No, I mean, at this point in the car's life, there's enough other stuff going on that subsumes the vibration that you might be getting from not having this piece on there.
Okay.
So I wouldn't worry. No, it's
perfectly
safe.
But there's no noise anymore.
Yeah, no more noise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, he got rid of the noise. There's no question about it.
It's perfectly safe, and you can live. In fact, a lot of the rebuilt axles come through without that thing.
Well, he was right.
He was right.
He
was right on top of the situation.
Have we created some kind of a domestic problem here? Or
No, it's just if you had told me that it wasn't safe, then I could have taken his Toyota Tacoma with air conditioning and satellite radio to
It's not safe.
No. No, this is bad idea. No, I wouldn't drive this car because the one on the other side, which it doesn't have, could go.
Right. Okay, so I'm safe and I can drive the junker.
But 5 hours is a very long ride.
It is.
There was a Freudian slip. It's going to seem like 5 years in your car.
5 years.
Yeah, I would take his car if you can weasel it out of him.
I'll do my best.
Yeah, tell him, I talked to the Car Talk guys, and they're pretty sure it's okay, but they're were kind of waffling.
They're not 100% sure, and they suggested I might want to try going in another car if there is another car. And I told them you had a car that I might be able to borrow, and you could drive this clunker for a couple of days.
Yeah, good luck, Laurie.
Thanks so much, guys.
You're going to need it. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Boy, oh, boy.
888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, guys. This is David from Durham, North Carolina.
Hi, David.
How are you?
I'm doing okay, but I really need your help.
I hope we can give it to you.
I've been hired to ghostwrite the second in a series of suspense novels. Mm. Now, the second is important because what this means is I've inherited the main characters and all their relationships, even the kind of guns they carry, everything, including the cars they drive.
Ah.
This is the problem, because the main character drives an Aston Martin DB4.
Oh, yeah, we had one of those in the shop just the other day.
Well, the problem I have as the writer is when I think of Aston Martins, I think of that other guy.
Bond.
Not my hero. Right, yeah, this other guy.
Who's your guy?
This guy's name is Jake Donovan. I don't want him going in saying Donovan, Jake Donovan. I don't want that.
No. My name
is Donovan. So what I want to do is I want to blow this car up. So I'm going to do that.
Ah, that's a good idea.
Yes, I'm going to blow this car up.
So he can buy himself a nice Mustang.
Yeah, well, I was thinking a 72 Pinto. I don't know, something.
Yeah.
But what I need from you guys is I want to set up the reader so that there's something chronic wrong with the Aston Martin, that this guy has to get out and raise his hood before he can start his car and do something like whack the solenoid full with the linkage. Do something simple so that every time he gets into the car won't start. He raises the hood. He does this thing. Then he gets back in. The car starts. He drives away.
Oh, something that could eventually lead to a terrible fire.
Well, what I want is the bad guy to put a bomb in the car that is activated by the hood being raised.
Because they know that they followed him.
Right.
Wait, so but isn't that going to kill him, too?
Actually, the guy who gets killed is a guy from AAA who comes out to service the car.
Don't say it. my brother was just about to say, serves him right.
I wasn't going to say that.
You were.
I just wanted to know if he was a PhD or not.
So
what's going to happen? The bad guy plants the bomb.
Actually, what happens is Jake's daughter gets in the car. He's gone, and she gets in the car to drive someplace. She can't start it, so she's not going to open the hood. She's going to call AAA.
Oh, and the AAA guy's going to blow up.
Right. So the mechanic comes out, he lifts open the hood, and it explodes.
Okay.
So what I'm looking for is that chronic problem.
How old is this Aston Martin?
It's a 1962 Series 3.
Perfect.
So you got something.
Well, no, not yet. We're working on it.
1962. Okay. It undoubtedly had to be carbureted.
Wait, this is simple. All you got to do is think of all the cars you've ever owned. I'll tell you all the cars I ever owned, what I had to do it on. I had one car in which I had to whack the battery because the connection to the battery was never tight, and I couldn't get it tight because the cable was a mess.
Ah, that's good. I like that.
See, I'd rather go with a bad solenoid.
Yeah, that was kind of where I was leading.
I would go with a bad solenoid, and it required a tap from a hammer. And one little gentle tap from the hammer or a bad spot on the armature. I like this better.
I like the starter. I like the starter.
A bad spot on the armature and a tap with the hammer or a stuck starter motor brush. And a gentle tap from the hammer would be just enough to get that brush to touch the commutator and the car would start. And it was so reliable that he could do it in his sleep.
Yeah.
Right.
He might have carried around a little stick with him to reach down and boom, like a little half of a broomstick.
But, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he even had it under the hood.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
But it required that he open the hood in order to do it. He tapped the starter, closed the hood, put the having put the stick back in its place.
No, the hood, the stick held the hood open.
Oh, yeah.
Because that's broken, too. I had that, too.
Wow, a dual-purpose stick.
Dual-purpose stick. You open the thing, the stick is there.
To reach the starter, how long would the stick have to be?
Oh,
A couple of feet.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I love it.
Oh, hey, thanks,
guys. So what's the name of this book?
Well, I'd rather not say.
Oh, you'd rather not say.
I'm ghostwriting this thing, so I've already given you more information.
Oh, you're a ghostwriter.
Yeah.
I think you're doing the right thing by getting rid of the Aston Martin.
Oh, thanks.
Sure. Good luck.
I think so, too.
See you, David.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Bye.
Good luck.
Hey, look, before we give the answer to last week's puzzle, we have to take a short break so we can go to the Little Mechanics Room.
We'll be right back. The Little Mechanics Room?
Well, I built me a hot rod when I was a boy. I tore up the hills with my pride and joy. Nobody ever ran like that hot rod can. I gave the competition more than they could stand. Now they say that I'm the fastest in the land. I'm the hill country hot rod man. At the age 18, when I left the farm, I just parked my hot rod in my daddy's barn. 30 years of sitting didn't do it no harm. Still eating up the road like a critter in the corn. I'm the fastest in the land. I'm the hill country hot rod man.
And even though the statues on Easter Island put on noise-canceling headphones whenever we say it, this is NPR. Hey, if you'd like to hear more car talk.
Yeah, like if you're a dentist and want to remind your patients there are things more painful than a root canal.
You can download hundreds of classic car talk shows.
And by classic, we mean
old. Previously aired.
Exactly. <you know. laughs> Just go to cartalk.com and click where it says, listen to the show. Hi, we're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to talk about cars, car repair, and the answer to last week's puzzler.
But first, the question.
Here it is. Well, you should remember this because you'll remember it in a second. There are some factories in Russia, and maybe in other places as well, where the people working on the assembly line, so to speak, are wearing diving suits. Not scuba outfits. They're wearing the kind of full-body, metal-helmeted diving suit that Gilbert Roland wore. Remember that movie where he was diving for sponges?
Sponges, yeah.
Yeah.
What's the big deal with the sponges? You go to the Kmart and you buy a whole bag of them from Dime.
Yeah, well, that's because Gilbert Roland was getting with the suit, man.
He forged the way, man. So these guys are in...
Oh, these workers are wearing...
diving suits.
They're wearing these diving suits with the helmet, the hose, and all that as they go about their jobs, and yet they never go into the water.
Yeah.
The question is why, and the hint is, and you guessed the hint, because you said... What are they making, submarines?
Yeah.
And I said, yes, they are.
Yeah. See, unencumbered by the thought process.
How powerful a tool it is.
It's incredibly powerful.
It is. It is.
I have the strength of 10 because my heart is pure. I mean, I don't understand what they're doing, but submarines, bingo, it just bounced out of my little brain.
Yes, it did.
And it's little, let me tell you.
They are welding, and this, like I said, this may be happening in other factories in the world, probably in the U.S. of A.
Yeah.
The hulls of many submarines are made, if my sources are correct, out of titanium. And when you weld titanium, you have to do it in an oxygen-free environment because it'll burn up as you weld it. So what they do is they bathe the whole area in nitrogen, which is inert. So these guys are welding in this nitrogen-rich environment, and of course they need to breathe, so they pipe in the air with the diving suits. And the only time they ever go in the water is if somebody screws up and the submarine falls over.
No kidding.
No kidding.
That's not bad.
Not completely bogus.
That's not half bad. That's quite good.
So anyway.
Wow.
Who's our winner?
I'm shocked.
Shocked and chagrined.
I am shocked. And so is J.R. Tingle from Richmond, Virginia. J.R. Tingle, we don't know if it's male or female. And for having his or her answer selected at random from all the correct answers that we got, J.R. is going to get a $26 gift certificate to our Shameless Commerce Division, which is at cartalk.com. And with that $26, J.R. can pick up a copy of our CD, Car Talk Cartoons, which he can then re-gift if he wants to get rid of it.
Anyway,
re-gifting. That means you give away something that someone gifted to you.
Yeah, you have re-gifting. To remember to take out the card that says, Dear Tom, I hope you cherish this gift forever.
You know, my daughter, you know, at Christmas time, we do a thing called a Yankee swap, where you bring some wonderful article that you have, and you wrap it up, and everyone...
Hoping to foist it on someone else.
Right. And you pick things, and then you can swap and all that. It's a kind of an interesting little thing. A lot of people do this. And my daughter brings a box, a big box, and in it were all these glasses. And whoever got the thing opens it up, and here's all the glasses. And also in it is the card that... that was given to her when she got married about 20 years ago to Lydia and Dave. Lots of luck. And she kept
right.
this thing in her house.
These are from my private collection. I private hope you collection. Enjoy them. Oh, boy. Anyway, we'll have a brand new puzzler coming up in the third half of the show today. But between now and then, we'll take your calls. 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-82-27-82-55. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, this is Chris calling from San Anselmo, California.
Yeah,
San Anselmo.
Up?
Chris with a CH, of course.
Of course.
What's going on?
Well, you know, I've always wanted a Porsche, a 911, and I'm just about to get ready to start shopping for one.
Yeah.
But my wife, who's pregnant with our first child, she says it's okay. However, everybody else says I'm nuts.
Will this be the only car of the family?
No, we also have a Subaru Forester.
So what are the objections of the people who think this is a bad idea?
Let's see. You know, my father-in-law would go through the roof. You know, he thinks I should get a minivan. My mother just kind of looks at me and shakes her head. One of my colleagues suggested that I seek psychotherapy that, you know, I'm...
Really?
This is some sort of... I'm trying to play out some...
You might as well
denial.
Just hike your pants right up to your sternum and practice saying, yes, dear.
So... my question is, I guess, should I get the Porsche, or does the fact that I'm a soon-to-be father forbid this?
Gee whiz, who are these people that you hang out with? Who needs friends like this?
Well, Jesus.
If you want a nine, how old are you?
32.
Gee, what are you supposed to do? So you have a kid, you're supposed to just curl up and die?
I'm supposed to wait until I retire or something, and then this is the one gift I can give myself. But
right. Of course, when you retire, your knees will be shot. You won't be able to step on the clutch anymore. Your eyesight will be gone. You won't be able to see. Your reflexes are no good. Your son will want to drive it because he'll be what? He'll be 28.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll be 25 years old. And what's he going to do? He's going to lock you up in a nursing home and get rid of you right away so he can have your 911. Screw him. Tell the little kid to shape up.
Okay, so I should just tell what do I say to my family and my coworkers?
You know, no one matters except your wife.
Okay.
So
now, then why is she saying okay?
Then she says okay?
Yeah, she says okay, but then,
don't give her a chance to reconsider.
And keep her away from all those other people who might talk her into something else.
Okay.
I think, what the heck is wrong with that? You want a 911? First of
all, I think you have to keep her away from her father because he's a bad influence.
Yeah, she's going up there this weekend for a shower.
You know, Casey Stengel, the famous, the storied manager of the New York Yankees for many, many years, and they won many world championships under his guidance, was asked what his secret was to successful managing. And his answer was, to keep the six guys who hated me away from the ones who were undecided.
Yeah, so you don't want to make your wife undecided.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. Yeah, no, you want it, you got it.
All right, I
you have our blessing, man.
Go for it, Chris.
Okay, thanks, guys.
See you later.
Good luck.
Bye.
Boy, is he in deep trouble.
Boy, oh boy. All right, I have to read this letter because a lot of people have been asking us, what is this thing we do about NPR and Silvio Poggioli? And I have to read the letter, which is the origin of this. It comes from a guy named Larry Albertelli. Dear Click and Clack, I think it's about time I got this off my chest. You two cowboys have been misrepresenting NPR's Sylvia Poggioli for some time now. It's about time someone set the record straight. When Sylvia Poggioli accidentally tunes in an NPR station when you two clowns are on, she most definitely does not shake her head and say, Mamma Mia. We used to do that. Mamma Mia. We used to say that.
Yeah, yeah.
That is just too naive. A woman of the world, like Sylvia Poggioli, slaps herself on the forehead, raises
like
her outstretched hand heavenward, shaking it emphatically, and exclaims, Porca miseria, ma chi sono questi cafoni? So the next time you attempt to slander the poor woman's reputation, think twice about this much more likely reaction. I expect to hear an errata and an apology on this matter on the next show. Yours truly, one of your most loyal fans, all two of us, Larry Albertelli. Carbon copy to
Sylvia
Poggioli, of course.
In case you didn't know what to say, what it means basically is, oh my God, what misery. Who are these two yahoos?
That's what, yeah, that would be a modern day translation.
Loosely translated.
Yeah.
Who are these two boars?
Yeah.
Otherwise known as cavones.
Cavones. And I guess Sylvia would say that.
She would.
Sylvia.
I don't think so. She seems too nice. I mean,
no, she doesn't.
No, not really. Now, don't forget that my brother has nothing to do all day in Harvard Square except smoke cigars, watch girls, and read mail.
That's true.
In that order, I might add.
Yeah.
So if you can help with any of those activities, just write to him at Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square, Cambridge.
Our fair city.
MA02238. Or, of course, you can email us from our website, cartalk.com. Now, if you want to talk to us directly, like now.
Like right now. Right now.
Our number is 1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
This is Wendy.
Hi, Wendy. Where are you from, Wendy?
Well, right now I'm speaking to you from Greenwich, Connecticut.
Mm-hmm. But you're not from Greenwich.
Well, I live in Greenwich part-time, and the rest of the time I spend in Washington, D.C.
Oh, you're not a politician or a lawyer, are you?
Yes.
No, but I date a bureaucrat.
Oh, yeah?
Keeps me in Washington.
I see.
That's good.
It's a man.
All right.
Yes, I understand. Now, you make frequent trips to Washington.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Date a bureaucrat.
I date a bureaucrat. He's nice, though.
So what's on your mind?
Well, I had a car problem. As I was driving from Connecticut to Washington, I was about five blocks away from my destination, and we're in traffic. It was a really hot day. I had the air conditioning on. And all of a sudden, there was a terrible smell. It was a sort of burning rubber smell. And then smoke or steam or something.
From under the hood?
Huh?
From under the hood?
No, it was coming from the driver's side front wheel area. And it was a really, really bad smell.
Yeah, it's nothing.
It's something. It's something because it stopped when I turned the air conditioner off. That's the only thing I did is just turn the air conditioner
The driver's side front wheel area.
Yeah, you have a front-wheel drive car. You must have like a Nissan Maxima.
Uh-uh.
All right, just a guess.
Volkswagen Jetta.
Okay.
Okay, so you turned the air conditioner on, you got the smoke.
Well, the air conditioner had been on for 5 hours.
Well, okay, so but it was on, and the smoke went away when you turned it off, rather.
Smoke went away when I turned it off.
Yeah.
But it was a holiday weekend when this occurred. And so I get to my boyfriend's apartment, and he comes home from work, and he's just in the worst mood. He's crabby, and I think this is not the time to bring up the fact that I'm having a car problem. Mm. And the next day, I think it's safer, and I go ahead and broach the topic. And he basically tells me it's ridiculous to try to get it fixed or looked at, because now I'm concerned, how am I going to get back to Connecticut? And he says, forget it. Just it's either nothing or it's something, you can't get it fixed. And he just wouldn't have anything to do with it. So we got in a big fight.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, well.
And justifiably.
Do you want advice on your car or about dumping them?
Well.
Sounds like you should do both.
I don't think I want to dump them yet.
Yeah, well, you might as well. No sense of getting any more deeply involved.
You don't think I should get more deeply involved?
Well, I wouldn't.
No, how come?
Well, I mean, it's going to get harder and harder to break away. And we know that ultimately the whole relationship is doomed to failure.
Because he wouldn't look under my hood?
He wouldn't look under... Well, look... Yeah, you can say that.
It's a family show. I mean, come on.
Because
he obviously didn't care, but there you are ready to embark on a five-hour drive.
And he wasn't concerned about your safety. Your car had been smoking, you know, belching smoke and noxious
billowing smoke.
Billowing smoke.
Yeah.
Billowing.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that takes care of him.
He's done.
Let's get back to technical things.
Yeah, let's get back to the easy
dump
stuff.
Him. It's going to save you all that driving. Yeah. And I can find you. I'll find you a nice bureaucrat in Greenwich.
Oh, you will?
Sure.
Okay.
Just fax me your CV, and I'll take care of the rest.
I'll do it.
Okay. Because we got to dump this guy.
No, I think your compressor was seizing up.
My compressor?
Yeah.
What is the
gas? Well, wait a minute. Did you ever get back to Greenwich?
Well, yes. Well, the second half of the story is, with great trepidation, I climb in the car to make this drive back without the air conditioning, because now I'm convinced that
good.
This whole thing has to do with the air conditioning.
You're right.
Excellent.
But it's 99 degrees, so I'm driving on these terrible highways, you know, Jersey Turnpike, et cetera.
Yeah.
And I'm sweating, and it's hot, and all I'm thinking is this man couldn't take me to get, you know, this car checked out, and now I'm sweating.
Yeah.
So I was not in a good mood.
You must have been steamed in both senses of the word.
Billowing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So anyway, it didn't really happen again because I really didn't use the air conditioning.
Yeah.
So,
but have you used the air conditioner since?
I have with in-town driving.
Yeah, you haven't used it long enough for it to seize up. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's out of oil.
My car or?
No, the compressor.
The compressor is like a little engine. Almost. And it has oil in it. It's a piston that runs up and down. Boom, 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 boom.
Uh-huh.
And if it gets out of oil, it fries it.
I have a fried compressor?
You might have a fried compressor.
Now, is that something easily fixed, or is that major?
Well, it depends on how fried it is.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually have been able to use it and it didn't make horrible noises and blow up,
no,
it might still be salvageable. But I would not use the air conditioner again until you have someone look at it.
Well, that was my feeling.
Yeah,
so.
I think you had good intuition about that. It's unfortunate you don't have good intuition about this bum down the line.
But you can't be an expert in every area, as we've proven week after week.
No, you guys are experts. In fact, he sort of, this man I date, sort of challenged me.
Dated.
Huh?
Dated. Use the right tense.
Yeah. Well, you're putting it in past tense. See, I'm willing to give him, you know, time to
well,
make
a sound,
man.
You sound like a wonderful person,
yeah,
Wendy.
You deserve better, Wendy.
Well, he's somewhat wonderful.
Nothing is more important than caring about another person.
Well,
and if he doesn't care about your safety, I mean, the car could easily have blown up on the way home, and he didn't care enough. He was too busy with his bureaucratic.
That's because he had his other girlfriend coming in the afternoon, and he had to get rid of you.
That's what I'm always thinking. I'm always thinking, okay, what happens when I...
What happens when you leave, exactly?
What does happen,
I'm not sure. I always look for signs, though. I'm always on...
Yes.
Very
you
good.
Know,
good.
You have to be careful.
So you are... Your intuition is telling you to be suspicious.
Well, I'm just suspicious, I suppose, by nature.
Yeah.
No, I don't think you are. I think you're suspicious because of the circumstance.
Did he ever, like, call and apologize for his boorish behavior?
Well, I think he realized that perhaps he wasn't as... nice as he
but he didn't
been.
Call and there were no flowers.
There were no flowers.
No flowers.
He's a bum. Dump
he doesn't send me flowers.
No.
He doesn't?
No, I've asked for them,
he's
fact.
He's too busy with his bureaucracy.
Right.
He's
too self-absorbed.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I'd dump him now.
You would?
Yeah, in fact, I wouldn't even bother to call him. Just
don't
just
show
pretend
up.
That he disappeared. Don't call him. Don't show up next weekend.
And I don't know if I can do that.
Consider it, Wendy. Look, Wendy.
Yeah?
The only reason that you're hesitating at all is because you think you might be bored on the weekend. But trust me.
Oh, okay.
Fax me your resume,
uh-huh.
And I will make sure that you are not bored this weekend.
Well, I will fax it to you.
Okay.
And I'll wait and see what you can produce.
Okay.
If you're willing to drive 5 miles, I'm sure we can fix you up with somebody.
I'll do it.
5 hours.
I'll do five miles.
Five hours.
Yeah. Right. Thanks, Wendy. And don't use the air conditioner until you have an expert look at it.
I'll take it on in.
Yeah. See ya.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, now before we get to the new puzzler, we have to take a short break.
Huh? More coffee? You already had 3 cups of coffee.
That's exactly why I need a break. We'll be back in a minute.
What the hell is a rotary? What are these people trying to do to me? I was almost killed by my own courtesy. On the first day I knew I was done, when I was sideswiped by Attila the Hun. In passing he cast aspersions on my ancestry.
stay at home in Massachusetts.
And even though Boy Scouts weep and say, hey, no one prepared us for this when they hear us say it, this is NPR. We're back. You're listening to Car Talk with us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and we're here to discuss cars, car repair, and the new puzzle.
I can hardly wait.
You're gonna love it.
Go ahead.
We got a lot of...
hate mail.
No. Oh, yeah, that goes without saying. A lot of submissions about this puzzler, and I'm going to use one sent by Steve Miller from, we don't know where Steve is from.
Cyberspace.
Neither does anyone else, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
Because his is succinct. Of course, I'll take care of that in short order.
Of course you will.
And he stole this, I believe, from Marilyn Vos Savant, but I'm not sure.
And she stole it from Martin Gardner.
Undoubtedly.
Of course. All puzzlers ultimately come from Martin Gardner.
Right, and he can't sue anyone because he's dead.
That's the best way.
Here it is. If a mother has two kids and the older one is a boy, what are the chances the younger is a boy? Okay.
Whoa.
Well, that's only half the puzzler.
I know this puzzler. This is a killer.
And the answer is 50-50.
Mm.
Okay? You got that?
Yeah.
So I'll give you that part.
Yeah. So she's got a boy kid.
Who's the older?
Right.
The mother has two kids. The older one is a boy. What are the chances the younger one is a boy?
50-50.
Got it?
I'm with you on that.
You paying attention now?
Yeah.
Now, suppose that same mother... No. Suppose a different mother has two kids, and one of them is a boy.
Yeah.
What are the chances
that
the other one is a boy? Well, it's got to be 50-50, right?
You would think.
Wrong.
Of course.
So what are those chances? Now, if you're thinking...
And why? We want all the calculations, man.
Yeah, I got them all right here, man. Of course, Steve didn't send the answer, but of course...
We don't need answers.
We don't need no... Yeah, we do. If you send the puzzler, send the stinking answer.
Yeah, this is very good. But very good.
If you think you know the answer, or things happen to be slow at work, or the boss happens to be away, send your answer to Puzzler Tower, Car Talk Plaza, Box 3500, Harvard Square... Cambridge.
Our fair city.
Matt 02238, or you can email your answer to us from cartalk.com. But right now, if you have a question about your car or anything, and I mean anything, give us a call. The number is 888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hi, I'm Lanny from Evergreen.
Lanny. L-A-N-I?
Yes. Yeah, from Evergreen, Colorado.
Evergreen, Colorado.
What's up?
Well, I bought Rosie, who is my 1993 Subaru Legacy station wagon, from my friend Erlene in 96. And I haven't had any trouble at all through all this time, except the other day I went down to the gas station. I was going to gas up. I twisted the gas cap halfway off, and flames shot up way over my head.
Huh?
And this guy who was gassing up next to me ran over. He said, "Did you see those flames?"
And you said, "Huh?"
Duh, yeah, I saw him, and so he ran in and got the station manager, who was just looking out the window, and they brought a fire extinguisher, but of course it was all done
it
by
was
then.
All over.
It scared me to death. So the station manager said, "You know what I want you to do, Lanny?" He said, "Just go away. Just get in the car. Don't get gas, and don't take the gas cap off. Just drive away."
Yeah, and refuel at someone else's station from now on.
So I left and called my mechanic, Bruce, at Olds Texaco. They're the best over there. And he said, well, probably it was static electricity because there's nothing back there.
Bruce, you had the right answer.
You think that was?
Oh, yeah.
What else? Because there's nothing else back there. I mean, he's absolutely right.
Okay, well, that's what I want to know. And so how do I avoid it?
Well,
man, I think you're going to have to. You know those things that you see cars or trucks have dragging along underneath them sometimes?
Right.
You have to attach those to your clothes.
Well, you know, many manufacturers have switched over to plastic gas tanks.
Ah. And, so what was it that ignited?
Well, what ignited was...
Was the fumes.
It may be that, in fact, as you turn the gas cap, do you wear jewelry on your right hand?
Oh, almost always, yeah.
It may be that, in fact, a ring...
Yeah.
...touched the metal cover of, the little flap that opens the door...
Yeah.
And you ground it.
And set off a spark.
Huh.
You discharge the static buildup. And you opened the tank and let out the pressurized vapors. You got a flame.
Yeah.
Now, fortunately, it didn't go beyond that because there probably wasn't any oxygen in the tank to carry the flame down into the gasoline. Right.
The gasoline.
Well, I didn't get the cap all the way off.
Oh, lucky you.
But would it, if I'd gotten the cap all the way off, would it have exploded the gas tank, do you think?
Hard to know.
Might have. We haven't had any calls from people who have done that.
In fact,
I'm
no
sure
one has had
haven't.
Any calls from people who have done that. And it's possible,
dead,
I suppose.
Right?
No,
I
mean, you need to have installed in your car ground straps, and you can buy them. Bruce can get them at his local jobber.
Okay.
And if your car has a plastic tank, and I don't know if it does,
mm-hmm.
but make sure that the ground strap between the plastic tank and the chassis is in place.
So I just need a ground strap between the chassis and the gas tank.
And the chassis and the ground.
And the chassis and the ground. Well,
yeah.
Bruce will know that, right?
Well... Yeah. Yeah, well, Bruce will know that because he knew it was static electricity.
Yeah, he did.
Right. And you
Bruce
can
knows everything.
You can discharge yourself, too.
I think so.
I had a Dodge Caravan in which I had purchased four beautiful Michelin tires.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And when I got out of this thing, the spark was so big, it jumped from the end of my finger a half an inch. And it hurt. It felt like someone was sticking a pin in the end of my finger. And the way I minimized the effect of it or the pain was to grip a quarter very tightly and use the quarter to discharge myself, and the spark would jump from the end of the quarter to whatever I discharged against, like my wife.
but
instead of coming to one single point of my finger, it would get dissipated by, you know, about a square inch or so of flesh between my thumb and index finger, and it didn't hurt. And you should do that.
Huh.
Yeah, and make sure that someone else refuels your car, but go to the ladies' room first. Get out of the car, ask for the key to the ladies' room, and from there you'll be shielded from the explosion. You usually have steel doors.
And as you're entering the ladies' room, you yell, fill it up, and you jump in the ladies' room and wait.
See you, Lonnie.
Okay, thanks.
Good luck.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
1-888-CAR-TALK. That's 888-227-8255. Hello, you're on Car Talk.
Hey, fellas, this is Bubba from somewhere south of the Mason-Dixon line.
Hey, Bubba, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing okay.
South of the Mason. Where is the Mason-Dixon line exactly?
It's in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
That's all I know.
It is in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I don't think of Pennsylvania as the south.
Well,
do you guys down there, Bubba?
No, they're Yankees.
The Yankees?
Of course they're Yankees.
Well, boys, I have a southern problem.
Yeah.
We've got a trouble with a neighbor who has a monster truck.
Oh.
I've been appointed by the neighbors to give y'all a call about this.
Wait a minute now. Is the problem that his truck is bigger than your truck?
Oh, it's a lot bigger. That's one problem.
So the neighbors have all gotten together and they elected you.
Yep.
Lucky you.
Okay.
And you obviously don't want to give your real name or your real location because...
No, of course not, because then the neighbor would know.
Well, he has a dog, too.
So this is... how big a monster is this?
Oh, it's about the size of a mobile home.
I mean, it's got those, like, 10-foot diameter tires.
You could drive one of those new minis right underneath of it without scratching the paint.
Okay.
Really?
And he warms it up every morning when the weather's
cold. And it sounds
like
a freight train coming through your house.
Yep. And it's a diesel, and that's my question.
Oh.
I wanted to gently let him know that he doesn't need to warm up that diesel every morning for half an hour.
Oh.
Now, do you really think that you got a snowball's chance in hell of convincing this guy of anything?
No.
How old a guy is he?
Oh, he's probably in his 30s.
30s?
What does he do for a living?
I don't know.
Hmm.
Maybe he builds monster trucks for a living. How did this get started, this monster truck thing?
Yeah, what is that all of, who was the first? I suppose, little at a time is the
answer. I can see them on the track. I can see them as novelty vehicles. I can see them in those competitions where they crash into things, and that can be kind of fun.
Well, you know,
people
I was
taking their own lives at the hands of 500 horsepower.
I was watching one of those monster truck things one night, and
you were there, huh, at the arena, weren't you?
I'm not going to tell you how I was watching it. I was watching it. And you know what? When they have all the vehicles lined up and you have to climb over them and they're going to schmoosh them. And if you don't do it right, I mean, these things are, they're really 20 feet, 30 feet maybe off the ground. And if you don't do it correctly, then it's easy to tip the thing over as you're driving over. It so happened that this driver was a woman. And she starts driving, and she's clearly going too fast. She bounces, and the front end of the truck goes straight up, and she flips over backwards.
And onto her roof.
Onto her own roof. I say, oh, my God, she screwed that one up. I hope she's alive. The audience
cheers,
goes wild cheering.
Because it makes no difference if she dies. There are plenty of other morons ready, willing, and able.
What matters is the grandeur.
Sure, the spectacle.
So she flipped this thing upside down. Luckily, she crawled out the window.
To ride another day.
To ride another day. And they were on their feet giving her a... I couldn't understand it.
Well, it's like Maximus in the arena with the lions.
Well, what's the difference?
Not a heck of a lot.
Not a heck of a lot, exactly.
Yeah. You know what happened to them eventually?
No.
No.
Anyway, back to Bubba's question here.
Well, yeah. He needs to warm it up. You need to move.
The whole neighborhood.
Well, no, only you. Only you. I mean, he lives next door to you?
Nearby.
So you're not really affected that much by the noise of his warming this up. I mean, it doesn't wake you up.
I sleep through it every morning.
I think you should assign this task to the guy who's his immediate next-door neighbor.
So a big diesel like that does need to be warmed up.
Well, I mean, it needs to be warmed up probably more than a gasoline car, but it doesn't need to be warmed up much.
And not for 30 minutes.
No, it doesn't need to be warmed up for 30 minutes. I would say maybe a couple of minutes, but see, that doesn't give him enough time to eat breakfast and shave. So the thing is, it would be all right. If 5 minutes would do it, then 25 minutes is okay. He's not hurting anything.
Okay.
No, he isn't hurting anything. That's the problem.
But he doesn't have to warm it up, and he's wasting fuel.
None of those things.
What, you think he's worried about wasting anything?
No.
No.
I didn't think so.
He's not.
Could we convince him that it's hurting
the
truck?
Well, you might want to tell him that it's obviously wasting fuel. Number two, it may be diluting the motor oil unnecessarily.
Ah, that's it.
Okay.
And that's not good for the longevity of the truck.
Yeah.
If you let it warm up for a half an hour with the thing idling, it's more detrimental than running the thing for a half an hour while it's being driven. In other words, that half hour of driving it is going to warm it up much faster than a half hour of idling it, and it's going to be much less harmful to the engine.
That's right. That's good.
Are you with me, Bubba?
Yeah, I'm with you.
So what that means is that he can't just let it sit there. He's got to drive it around the neighborhood so all the neighbors can get a whiff.
So he can wake everybody up.
This is a big help.
There'll be strength in numbers.
Yeah, maybe he can get one of his 10-year-old kids to drive it around.
But a little old lady down the block said she'd take it and drive it into a lake for us.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah, monster truck, huh?
Yeah, I don't think there's much you can do.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Jeez.
No, you may have to move to the other side of the Mason-Dixon line.
Yeah, we'll come up to Boston.
But you know what? We got them up here. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You go too far up and you end up in New Hampshire and it's just the same. I mean, they got the same trucks. In fact, that thing I was watching on TV was from New Hampshire.
You know what?
Speaking of New Hampshire.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
I have a lot of in-laws.
Kin.
That's
kin
it.
Folk.
Kin. I have a lot of kin that live up there in the North Country here, which is our version of the Mason-Dixon line, except it goes the other direction.
Right.
And all these kin of mine, they're into, like, hunting and all that, pickup trucks. And I have long since become the outcast of the family because I don't even know what this is all about.
Oh, yeah.
But I allow people to do whatever they want. Well, it's none of my business. Until I found out the other day, there was some kind of a family get-together, and Pete wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
And the question was, well, where's Pete? And we are told by his wife that Pete couldn't come to this little family affair because he was at an antler convention. Even Bubba's laughing. He was at an antler convention.
Really? Well, everyone needs a hobby.
Antlers? I mean, I'm open to a lot of stuff, but...
Antlers, monster trucks? I mean, what would this guy driving the monster truck be doing if he wasn't doing this?
He would be going to the antler convention.
Yeah.
I guess the answer is everything's okay. As long as you're not really hurting anybody, and he's not really. No. It could be a lot worse. I agree.
Yeah, no, you leave well enough alone.
Live and let live.
I don't think I'd talk to him. If you do, I would make sure that whatever you say is in passing. You know, in other words, I wouldn't knock on his door and say, hey, by the way, you moron.
I've been elected by all the neighbors to come over here and talk some sense into,
yeah, I don't
into
think
that
I,
little pea brain
of yours. I don't think I'd do it that way.
I wouldn't do that, no.
I'm afraid my yard's going to get turfed or something.
Well, good luck, man.
Thank you, fellas.
Hey, have a wonderful time. I wish I had a neighbor like this.
It can be arranged.
I miss Dick Malio. He was the only crazy guy that would have had done this.
Well, it's happened again. You've wasted another perfectly good hour listening to Car Talk. Our esteemed producer is Doug the Subway Fugitive, not a slave to fashion, Bongo Boy, Frogman Berman. Our associate producers are David the Calves of Belleville Green and Catherine Frau Blucher Fenelosa. Our web lackey is Doug the Old Gray Mare, assisted by Connie Bridgeford. Our engineer is John Cartman Parati. Our theme music is by David Dog Grisman. And our technical, spiritual, and menu advisor, just back from the St. Louis Chop Suey Ratatouille and Drambuie Shake Your Booty, is John Bugsy Lawler. Our public opinion pollster is Paul Murky of Murky Research, assisted by statistician Marjorie Rivera. Our customer care representative is Heywood Jabuzoff. Our personal makeup artist is Bud Tugley. Our parts inventory manager is Wayne DeBack. Our staff kleptomaniac is Heidi Silver. Our dope slap administrator is Tad Hertz. Our director of guaranteed repeat business is Lucinda Bolst. Our dessert menu planner is Eaton Flanagan. Our retractable antenna tester is Benton Broke. The pre-recorded portions of today's show were selected by staff librarian, all been heard before. Our Russian chauffeur is Peekoff and Drop-Off. Guest accommodations are provided by the Horseshoe Road Inn, and the head of our Working Mother support group is Erasmus B. Dragon. Our chief counsel from the law firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe is Hugh Lewis Dewey, known to the gifted and talented pigeons in Harvard Square as Huey Louie Dewey. Thanks so much for listening. We're Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers, and don't drive like my brother.
And don't drive like my brother.
What he said. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye. You can get a podcast of this show, which is number 1425, download classic Car Talk episodes, and check out our clothing and CD collections all over at cartalk.com. Mm. Also at cartalk.com, you can learn about how to skip the whole trade-in process and help your public radio station at the same time.
It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program, and I promise not to skim any AMC Hornets off the top.
We caught him doing that last year, you know.
It's the Car Talk Vehicle Donation Program. Details at cartalk.com.
Car Talk is a production of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe and WBUR in Boston.
And even though Steve Inskeep quietly removes his bio from the NPR website whenever he hears us say it, this is NPR.